192. And I have to say, what a joy it is to be back preaching in Bolney Chapel on a nice flat desk. last Sunday I was at St. Mark's Cathedral in a pulpit, which is about 8 feet above the congregation. These kind of rickety steps. And you know what I'm like. I have my Bible and I have lots of bookmarks for all the passages I want to refer to. So I need both hands. And literally 2 minutes before I was going to go up, Magnus gave me a handheld microphone and said, "You need to use that." And I'm like, "I need more hands." And then I got up into the pulpit, and of course there's a fan blowing. So I put my Bible down, and I've got the microphone in this hand, and then all the pages are blowing. So there was a little kind of lecterny thing, so I had to kind of hide the Bible under there so the pages wouldn't blow over. And then oh dear, we got there in the end. It was some of the things blew away. So I like having a flat desk to put my Bible on, so nothing falls out or gets blown away. Anyway, we're back in Daniel chapter 7, and how are we doing for time? We're all right, aren't we? Yes. Oh gosh. So just keep going. So we had a very long service last Sunday on African time, so which was amazing. So I'm going to read the chapter, because it's good to kind of read it through. And as I read it, you'll probably be scratching your head and thinking, what on earth is this all about? And what on earth? But actually, it could not be more relevant. It could not be more relevant for the days in which we live. And the encouragement that it brings is something we need as the people of God in this generation. And there are things in here that we really need to just be reassured by, and things that we need to hold on to. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. So time-wise, we've sort of gone back a bit. We're between chapters 4 and 5 is where this sits in time-wise, because it's in the first year of Belshazzar. And you'll see the beginning of chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet, and chapter 4, we're still with Nebuchadnezzar. So this is kind of going back a few years that Daniel has this dream. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. There before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up, before which three of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favour of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale. But I kept the matter to myself. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Your word, which is given to us for revelation, not to confuse us and mystify us, but in order to show us things. So, Father, I pray this morning that by your Spirit, you would give us insight into these things, and that our hearts and minds will be open and attentive to your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So this is, it's apocalyptic literature like the book of Revelation. It's drawing back the curtain and showing us things that are to come. And the language of apocalyptic literature, as we've read, is quite graphic and broad brush. And some of it is easier to understand than others. Some of it is easier to interpret. Some of it is actually becomes quite obvious, and some of it is not so obvious, but we pray the Lord to open our hearts and minds as we look through it, and that we see the things that we really need to see. So Daniel has this vision, and it begins with four winds of heaven churning up the great sea, and these four beasts, which are explained as four kingdoms, come out of the sea. So in biblical language, sea is always associated with chaos and disruption. So the beginning of Genesis, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And out of chaos, God spoke life into being. You get to the other end of the Bible, the book of Revelation chapter 21, and John has this glorious vision of the new heavens and the new earth. And what does he see? There was no longer any sea. So the chaos has gone. So whenever in the Bible we come across this kind of description of a great sea, it symbolises that it's a place of chaos and disorder, and a place where God is not. And out of this chaos and out of this disorder come these great beasts. Now, beast is a pejorative term. These are not cute, cuddly puppies. These are beasts, and everything that goes with them is beastly. These are not godly kingdoms. these are kingdoms that destroy. And as it is explained to Daniel, they describe four kingdoms that are to come. The first one, the one like a lion with the wings of an eagle, is the Babylonian kingdom, which we've sort of been learning about. And in the British Museum, you can see from Babylonian times a winged lion. It's one of their symbols and one of their images. So the first one is the Babylonian Empire, which will be replaced. I remember when we were studying in Daniel chapter 2, the statue of the figure with the golden head. It's a similar thing. It's just being explained in a different way. So the Babylonian kingdom is replaced by the kingdom of the Persians and the Medes, which is the second beast, verse 5, that looked like a bear raised up on one of its sides, possibly because it was an unequal partnership and the Persians were much greater than the Medes. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, possibly symbolizing the three great conquests of the Medo-Persian Empire, which were Egypt, Lydia, and Babylon. After that, there was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. Leopards are fast and swift, and the Medo-Persian Empire was replaced by the Greek Empire, led by Alexander the Great, who by the age of 28 had conquered the known world. He moved very fast and he conquered very swiftly. And when he died, his kingdom was divided into four and distributed between four of his military leaders, which possibly explains the beast having four heads in verse 7. Are you still with me? Good, because I'm not sure I am. But there we go. After that, in my vision at night, I saw there was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening. Now, do you remember when we were back in Daniel chapter 2 and looking at the statue, which again explained these different kingdoms of the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greek, the Roman, which back in Daniel chapter 2 was the kingdom made of iron. And then there's a final kingdom, which is iron and clay. And do you remember when we were back in Daniel chapter 2, the implication of the rest of Daniel 2 is that this last kingdom is one still to come. This last kingdom has not yet been seen on the earth. This last kingdom will arise towards the end of days, because it is a kingdom that is utterly destroyed by the coming of Jesus Christ at the end of time. So this last kingdom in Daniel chapter 2 is one that we have not yet seen. And so similarly, this fourth beast is describing a kingdom that we have not yet seen, although perhaps we are beginning to see signs of it. So this is what he sees in his vision. It's these kingdoms that are to come, three that have already come in history, and the fourth which has not yet come. Perhaps we're living in the days of it, but it's a fourth kingdom. So he sees this. That's taken us to verse 8. Verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place. The Ancient of Days took his seat. So all of this chaos is going on. And you know, the world in which we are living is a world of chaos and conflict, and a world in which there's a lot of despair, and a world in which things seem to be getting worse rather than better. You just watch the news and see everything that's going on. And there are, you know, a lot of beastly kingdoms and empires have come and gone. And there are a lot of beastly kingdoms and empires in our world today. But the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. Just think of the transfiguration where Jesus is revealed in all his glory to Peter, James and John. And how do they see him? There he was transfigured, Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. This is the purity of God. His hair was white, head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Think of Moses standing by the burning bush, and God speaks to him from the burning bush and says, take off your sandals, you are standing on holy ground. Think of the people of God being led from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land, and how does God lead them? With a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This is the holiness and the beauty and the purity of God. thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. God has the final say. The Bible quite often talks about the book of life. And the most important question being, are our names written in the Lamb's book of life? Have we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Are we known to him? In Revelation chapter 13, we read verse 8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. When at the end of time God opens his book of life, will our names be written in it? Revelation chapter 21, the last few verses, John seeing in Revelation this wonderful picture of the new heavens and the new earth and the perfect temple, the perfect city, the new Jerusalem coming down from earth. And verse 27 of chapter 21 says, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a book of life. Is your name written in it? How do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? By accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and putting your faith and trust in him and confessing him as Lord and Saviour. Remember, the overriding narrative of Daniel is that God is sovereign and there is no other. And ultimately, every knee will bow before him, willingly or unwillingly. Verse 11, I continue to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. So Daniel is seeing the time when, boastful words will be spoken against God and against God's people. And again, John writes about this in Revelation, Revelation 13. I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. Verse 5, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. So this is what Daniel is seeing in his vision. But then, verse 13, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Jesus takes this title and uses it for himself. The expectation when Jesus came and what people had been longing for was the coming of the Messiah, the coming of God's anointed one. But Jesus takes on himself this title of the Son of Man, which references back to Daniel 7, one coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So this is the hope that we have in when we live in a world that is filled with so much chaos and conflict. This is the way history is ultimately going to play out, with a saviour who will come and reign forever. At the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus introduces his ministry by saying, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is coming. What was foretold in Daniel chapter 7, Jesus takes this title and he says to people, look, these days are coming. The kingdom of God is coming. You need to do something about that. Remember Isaiah's promise, Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So this is what Daniel is seeing in this vision. This is hope for the future. This is what gives us hope and reassurance for the future, because this is how history is going to play out. This final beastly kingdom, which will be have echoes of the Roman Empire, but will be different. It will have attributes of the Roman Empire about it, but it will be different. This kingdom will come, but ultimately it will not stand and it will not last. And so Daniel is being shown these things, but he's also giving the reassurance of how things ultimately are going to play out. Daniel asks for for clarification. He wants to know more about it. Verse 16, I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. And verse 17, the four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. That's our guarantee. That ultimately Jesus will establish his kingdom and it will be handed to us to rule and reign in. That's what we are looking forward to. Again, in Revelation, we have this promise. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John says, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. That's us. That's where we will stand because of the victory of the cross. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We are included in this multitude. Verse 14 of Revelation chapter 7. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. Amen. So I have to say, you're almost as good as saying amen and hallelujah as the Sierra Leoneans. As I was drawing to the end of my, I went out big, you know, I had a big finish at the end of my sermon last Sunday, and I was waiting for a kind of an eruption of amen and literally tumbleweed. So I had to say, can I get an amen? And then I kind of got a bit of a amen, and then I said, can I have a bigger one? So we got there in the end, but they were. I was surprised they were no better than you. I was expecting a bit more as you know. But where are we? Yes, basically, what's Daniel being shown, and what's John being shown? It's basically being shown trouble is coming. That's basically what is being shown. Trouble is coming. Trouble is coming on the people of God. And towards the end, it will get worse. Towards the end, it will get worse. Let's just skip to verse 25 of Daniel 7. Again, speaking about this fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth, the one that we are still anticipating. What's he saying? Now listen to verse 23. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom that will appear. It will be different from all the other kingdoms. This is why we think this is one that will come in the end of days, because it's different from all the other ones, and will devour the whole earth. This is going to be a kind of a world kingdom, trampling it down and crushing it. Verse 25, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and half a time. So there will be a season of time where the people of God are oppressed. And it will be something that God allows to happen. Trouble is coming. But, verse 26, ultimately the court will sit and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers who worship will obey him. This is the end of the matter. So, just as I say, there's quite a lot in there. Couple of takeaways. Things are going to get worse before they get better. Beastly kingdoms will come and go. And in the last days, the beastliest of kingdoms will arise and will appear to rule and reign and be successful, and the people of God will be persecuted and oppressed. But then the kingdom of God will fully and finally arise, and the last of those beastly kingdoms will be fully and finally judged and condemned, and the new heaven and the new earth will come, and the people of God, that's us, will reign victorious in the new heaven and the new earth with Jesus as our... Oh, thank you. Yes. Amen. Yes. Well, amen. Amen. So that's what he's being shown. The most important thing is when the book of life is opened, is our name in it. That's the thing. There's so much in this that we could, we're not quite sure about. Let me tell you a thing we're absolutely certain about. There's only one way to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is through surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is through repentance. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And if you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got to go to the Lamb and realise that his sacrifice on the cross was for you, that he was dying in your place for your sins, and that you have to acknowledge and own your sin and ask for his forgiveness and receive from him new life. And then he writes your name in his book of life, and it will be there for eternity. So let's just close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a final song together. Father, thank you that although there are things that we're not quite sure about, there are things that we are certain about. And we are certain that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you will reign forever. And ultimately, every knee will bow before you, willingly or unwillingly. Thank you for the certain hope that we have that Jesus is going to return and establish a new heaven and a new earth in which we will live forever and in which we will reign with him. And Father, thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has opened the way for our names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, I pray this morning for any of us here this morning, any of us who may be listening to this recording online, who are not sure that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that even in this moment, they might acknowledge the goodness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess their sins before him and know that the price was paid by Jesus on the cross, and that as those sins are confessed, they are forgiven, and that there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And as we confess our sins before the cross, so we receive forgiveness, freedom from condemnation, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who brings new life. So may our names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and may we be certain of what it is that we have to look forward to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.